Good morning, everyone. It's really good to see everyone out today, and if you haven't noticed yet, there's just 1 week left until Christmas. Yep. And I'm not quite ready, but if you are, that's okay. Anyway, again, just the general disclaimer that we all know that you know that I know that you know that we all know that Christmas is not Jesus' birthday, and if you're not sure about that, talk to me later, okay? That said up front, just ask any kid what's so great about Christmas, and they're going to say the presents. The presents, you know, because who knows, maybe underneath all of that shiny, pretty wrapping paper is a new smartphone or an iPad or an Xbox or some jewelry or a new watch or something. Maybe the gift, though, that you want isn't material at all. I don't know. Maybe it's the health of a family member that's really, really wanted, or the safe return of a loved one or a friend from overseas fighting in one of the battles on one of the many lands around the world. No matter how expensive, though, or how big or how noble the gift that you've been wanting might be or waiting for this Christmas, there's no gift greater than the gift of God's love that was wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger for you and me. God sent his own Son, Jesus, giving up the greatness and the glory of heaven to be born in this dark and dreary world as a baby. As a baby. So that we might have the privilege and blessings of unwrapping God's love into our lives. Today we're going to talk about the unwrapping of God's gift in our lives. Now think about that. Think about God's gift of Jesus. It's special, isn't it? It really is. You see, God's gift is not like a toy that gets played with some and then forgotten, not supposed to be, or some kind of electronics that we can turn on and off and stow away, you know, or maybe even like some clothes that we wear for a day and then put away for some other time. God's gift is meant to be used every day, every hour, every moment of our lives. Just think about it. Has someone ever given you something, or maybe attempted to give you something that you just kind of felt you shouldn't have because somehow you felt like you didn't deserve it, or that it would hurt your pride maybe to think that you actually needed something? I don't know, maybe we think to ourselves that we don't need any help or that there are others who could use that gift more than us. I'd imagine that practically everyone here has experienced that at some point in their lives. If not, well, you probably will. But what if we weren't on the receiving end? What if we were on the giving end? Just how would you feel if you gave someone a gift but they refuse to open it up or use it? You know, it goes something like this. It's like, hey, Johnny, you know, how's that gift I gave to you last Christmas? Well, gee, Joe, you know, I haven't even opened it yet. Yeah. I really don't need it. Maybe I'll just give it to someone else. I heard this big discussion about re-gifting the other day. Anyway, some people think it's tacky. Anyway, I think it'd be kind of awful, you know? I mean, I'd be thinking something like, you know, if I wanted someone else to have the gift I gave you, I would have given it to them, not you, you know? Now think about our scripture reading that Thomas reminded me was long, but it was pertinent to today, you know? Anyway, from Luke chapter 2. In Luke 2, we see that God wants us to unwrap his gift that he gave to us out of love, okay? God wants us to unwrap his love. Look at Luke 2:10. Luke 2:10 says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" You see, God's gift is not just for some people, but it's for all people. It's for everybody. That's what the angel said. He said he brings good news for all people. For all people. Of course, there's always someone who thinks that they're not good enough, you know, and that there's no way that they can open up such a wonderful gift from God. And on the flip side, you know, there's always someone who thinks that they're too good, you know, that there are others who are more in need of God's love and mercy than them. I don't need that stuff, you know. Either way, this is where people need to humble themselves and recognize their own personal need, because God's gift is for everyone. We all need it desperately. That's why he gave it to us, because the Bible tells us that each and every single one of us has been bad. We've all been sinners. There's no one righteous, not even one, Romans 3:10. And that means that we're all in a bad way, right? Without God's gift, we're all in a bad way because we are separated from God, like Isaiah 59:2 tells us. But our iniquities have separated you from your God. So no matter who it is, no matter what they've done, good or bad, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And none of us are able to do anything about it. We can't earn our salvation, for it is by grace that you've been saved through faith, and it is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Again, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. So it appears that we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. Doesn't matter economics, it doesn't matter height, doesn't matter width, doesn't matter at all. All of us are in need of a gift that some of us don't want to open. Because by opening it, then we agree that we're in need. But you see, that's what the gift is all about. God's love, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So, God has given us the gift of love, his Son, a gift for you and me. But have we all unwrapped it? Have we opened it? Just how do we do that? Well, once we hear the gospel, Romans 10:17, and then believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, Acts 16:31, and upon that belief we turn to Jesus in repentance, Acts 17:30, and then confess Jesus Christ as Lord, Romans 10:9 and 10, and then we go ahead and allow ourselves to receive baptism and be immersed into Christ, Colossians 2:12. And when we've done that, you see, then we've unwrapped the gift of God's love, Mark 16:16. And while that might sound like a big mouthful and a lot, it's not any more difficult than untying ribbons and ripping apart paper and opening up boxes and presents on Christmas Day. Actually, it seems to me that believing in Jesus and being baptized is a whole lot easier. Plus, it's for a gift that will last, and not just for a few days or a few years, but eternity. But eternity. Then it's all a matter of us sharing God's gift of love with others. Just like someone took the time to share with all of us who've received that gift and unwrapped it and opened it and put him on in baptism. You remember in John 15, verses 9 through 13, Jesus had this to say. He said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, Jesus says, you'll remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his friends. His life for his friends. So, clearly unwrapping God's gift of love is not only about putting Christ on in baptism, but it's about loving each other. It's about caring for each other. It's about helping each other. It's about sharing God's love with each other, especially with those who have never unwrapped the gift of God's love. Again, God wants us to unwrap his gift of love. And because God's gift of love, well, he's also given us joy. God wants us to unwrap his joy. Look again at Luke 2:10. The verse says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Again, the angel said, I bring you good news. You're right. Yeah, you see, Christ is our good news. It's the gospel. He's the gospel message. You know, he went to the cross, died, buried, was resurrected. It's a good news message, though, that brings us great joy. It brings us joy no matter what the circumstances we might be dealing with. You know, we might be having some pain or some problems, maybe even facing some loss. But when we look to Jesus, he's our good news. And because of that gift, we can face life with optimism and even joy. Think about what people will do this year. They'll open up all kinds of gifts, hoping for something that will give them a little bit of happiness, a little bit of joy. But any earthly thing is just temporary, right? But the gift of God, His joy, lasts forever. Romans 6:23 reminds us that the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's eternal. The gift lasts forever. I found this interesting story. It's about this wise and good king who ruled in Persia. And what he would do, see, he loved the people so much. So he wanted to know how they lived. He wanted to get to know them better, you know, because he loved them so much. He wanted to know all about what they were going through and their hardships. So what he would do is he would dress up in the clothes of the common working man, of the poor, of a beggar, you know, and then he'd go to the homes of these poor, you know. Of course, no one that he visited thought that he was their king, you know, because he did a pretty good job, you know, making himself all out, you know. Well, one time he visited a very poor man who lived down in this deep, dank cellar. And the king ate the same food that the poor man ate, which was also shared with the rats, you know. But and the king spoke cheerfully, and he spoke kind words to the man, and then the king left after his little visit. Later on, the king visited the poor man again and revealed his true identity to him, telling him, "I am your king." The king thought for sure that the poor man would ask him for some kind of a gift or a favor, but he didn't. He didn't. Instead, he said, "You left your palace and your glory to visit me in this dark, dreary place, and you ate the same food that I ate, that the rats ate. You brought gladness and joy to my heart. To others you have given your rich gifts, but to me you've given the best gift. You gave yourself. And thanks be to God for his indescribable gift," 2 Corinthians 9:15, "the gift of Jesus that gives us pure joy." Think about it. In the birth of Jesus, God just didn't send us some kind of directions, you know, but he sent us Jesus himself. He sent his son to communicate with us in person, face to face, the love of God and the joy that we can have in him. You see, when we embrace the love of God, then we can have a sense of well-being and of joy. And we can know that all is well with my soul. And that message is so needed today. It is. The message of the angels to the shepherds, right? I bring you good news of great joy. I bring you good news of great joy. And because Jesus was born, we can sing out songs like "Joy to the World, the Lord is come." And so instead of people living lives of quiet desperation, you know, a life filled with fear and worry, we can all live lives of joy because of God's gift of Christ to all of us. Which is why, no matter what, we can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, Philippians 4:4. Again, God wants us to unwrap his gift of joy given to us in his gift of love. And because of God's gift of joyful love, he has also given us hope. He's also given us hope. God wants us to unwrap his hope. He does. Every year, children of all ages will have hopes for their gifts, you know, and they'll hope they'll get what they really want. They'll hope it's exactly what was on their Christmas wish list, you know, and they hope, you know. But often the gifts are not a Red Ryder BB gun because mom knows that you'll shoot your eye out. But instead they end up with pink footy pajamas. And you look like a bunny or something, you know. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's okay. If you do, then that's okay too. But anyway, God's hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us, Romans 5:5. You see, God's hope comes to us in the gift of Jesus Christ. And God's hope is an amazing thing. And that's because hope can transform a life from meaningless into a life that is full of purpose and full of direction. God has given us hope. Our greatest need, think about it. If our greatest need had been information, then God would have sent us an educator. You know, and if our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. And if our greatest need had been money, God would have given us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, he would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and resurrection gives us hope. Gives us hope. Hope for our past, hope for our present, and hope for our future. The Bible encourages us in 1 Peter 1:3 to praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, we all have those deep, dark secrets. Those deep, dark secrets that tend to bind us down. All those mistakes and poor choices from our past that can only be made right with a new life. And such a chance at a new life is one that gives us hope. And that was God's gift of hope some 2,000 years ago when Jesus came. And that is God's gift to all of us who unwrapped the gift of Jesus today. God gives us hope for our past. You know, when we come to realize that our past can be forgotten and forgiven, that all those guilty feelings can be taken away from us, well, that gives our hearts hope, gives my heart hope. So if there's anyone who's carrying around a past that they are not proud of today, then we all need to understand that God has given us the best gift ever, God's gift of hope for our past. It can be taken away. Now, not only does God give us hope for our past this Christmas, but he gives us hope for the present. Story goes that a man approached a Little League baseball game one afternoon, and he asked the boy in the dugout what the score was. You know, and the boy responded, 18-0, we're behind. Boy, the spectator said, I bet you're discouraged. Why would I be discouraged? The boy said, we haven't even gotten up to bat yet. You see, God has given us hope for the past. You know, he's taken away our past and given us a fresh start. And he's taken away the 18 runs scored against us. But what about when we get up to bat? You know, well, God's gift of hope also is good for right now. God has given us hope for the present. In the book of Acts chapter 2, in Peter's sermon about the resurrection of Christ, in verses 26 through 28, Peter says this. He says, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Now, what does it mean to live in hope? To live in hope. Well, it means that because of what Jesus Christ has done, we can be free. We can be free living in that hope. We can be free living in that hope. You see, when Jesus rose from the grave, he rose from the grave of our sins. And all those sins that each of us has struggles with, well, Jesus has defeated them. And so we are free because of God's gift of Jesus, which gives us hope for our present right now. So, you know, God's gift of hope erases our past. It sets us free in our present situation. And God's gift gives us hope for the future. And he does that by making our future sure. Jeremiah 29:11 declares, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Hope and a future. See, even though some of us might be in a tough situation now, we can have hope that our future is in God's loving hands. No matter what we're facing today, God says, I have won the victory. I have won the victory for you, and I will bless you with a future filled with hope. See, this life is only temporary. But, you know, we were made to exist forever. And this body, you know, this earth, it's just the first chapter of a novel with no ending. It goes on and on. The Bible says in Job 11:18, you will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. And that is what our future is. For for those who unwrap God's gift of hope. It is secure and full of hope. Again, God wants us to unwrap his gift of hope and joy, all given to us in his gift of love, Jesus. And because of God's gift of joyful love that he has given to us in hope, we can be at peace. See, God wants us to unwrap his peace. First of all, we should remember that Jesus is the source of the peace that we need between God and us. We can only have peace with God because of Jesus. Listen carefully to the words of the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit, in Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. The Bible says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." Now here's what Paul is saying. He's saying our sins have taken us far away from God. And because of that, we have no promise. We have no hope. You know, we have no peace. Our sins have created a wall of hostility separating us from God. You see, God is a holy and righteous and pure God. And he created us in his own image. And that means that God has given us the ability to live holy, righteous, and pure lives. But he also gave us the freedom to choose. And every one of us here, old, young, somewhere in between, whenever we were old enough to understand the difference between right and wrong, ever since then, we've made the decision at some point in time to do what we knew was wrong. We all have sinned against God, and not just once, that's bad enough, but over and over and over again. So, we who were made in his holy image have fouled that image. It's become corrupted. We have taken that which is precious in his sight, and we have stained it with sin. We've turned our back on him, and we've gone our own way. And as a result, there is this wall of disobedience and hostility between us and God. But God still loves us. And his gift of Jesus tells the world that God took the initiative and sent his Son so that through him, that wall, that barrier might be destroyed and that we might be brought back to God. So when we become a Christian, we can have that peace that we so desperately need with God through Jesus' shed blood on the cross, like Colossians 1:20 says, that it was through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And we not only have peace with God, of course, but we can have peace with each other. Look again back at Ephesians 2, and let's read verses 17 through 19 this time. The Bible says that Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. You see, right here we're told that Jesus is the source of peace among men. We can have peace. We actually can have peace with each other and live together in harmony, and not because of anything that some president does or some summit somewhere, but because of Jesus. But we all need to unwrap the gift that God has given us, which is Jesus. And having peace with God and others means that we can have peace within ourselves too. And that's because Jesus is the source of our peace within. We can be at peace with ourselves because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Remember again Ephesians 2:14 that we read just a minute ago, where we're told that he himself is our peace. He himself is our peace. You see, the stock market might crash. Hopefully it won't get as low as it did not too long. The doctor might tell you that you've got an illness, maybe even terminal. The world may come crashing down all around us, but we have an inheritance that is guaranteed in Jesus, and there's no power in the world, or under the world, or over the world, or around the world, or anywhere that is powerful enough to take that inheritance away from us. We are secure in our relationship with God. And because of that, we can have the peace of God, which transcends all understanding and will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. And God, again, wants us to unwrap his gift of peace. He wants us to unwrap his gift of peace that comes from the hope and joy that God has given to us in his gift of love, Jesus. And of course, unwrapping God's gift of joyful love, which gives us hope and peace, when we do that, we have life. We have life. God wants us to unwrap his life. You know, there are so many gifts that people unwrap this time of year. Some of them promise us all kinds of things, you know, a little bit of fun, a few moments of happiness, maybe even a brief glimpse of beauty. You know, oh, that's so pretty. Till it falls and breaks, right? Oh, that's pretty. Yeah. But the only gift that will give us life, both now and forever, is the gift of Jesus Christ. God's gift that we must unwrap in order to have. Jesus said in John 10:10, that he came that we might have life and have it to the full. He came that we might have life, you see. You know, some people want a miracle to happen before they turn to God. But Jesus told us again in Matthew 12:39-40, that a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus' resurrection is the sign. You see, God has given everyone the gift of Jesus Christ to unwrap, but it's only those who actually unwrap it that have it. The sad thing is that there are too many people who choose some other gift because they think maybe it looks better, you know, or maybe it seems to fit better than God's gift to unwrap. They just kind of skip over God's gift because, you know, somehow they think, I don't know, maybe it just isn't good enough or valuable enough or something. I read a story about an African boy who was listening carefully while his teacher explained why Americans give presents to each other on Christmas Day. And she said that such a gift is an expression of our joy over the love of Jesus Christ. And it's about our friendship for each other. So when Christmas Day came, this boy brought the teacher a big, beautiful seashell. She was amazed. She said, well, where'd you find such a beautiful shell? The boy said, I found it by the bay. And when he said that, the teacher was stunned. She said, well, the seashell is absolutely gorgeous, but the bay is 10 miles away. Why did you travel all that way, all that distance, to bring me a Christmas gift? The boy smiled and said, the long walk is a part of the gift. Think about it. Jesus came from heaven to a manger, from a manger to the cross, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Still, someone might ask, God, why did Jesus go through all this trouble? And God would say to us, the long walk is a part of the gift. There's no mountain high enough, no valley low enough, there's no river wide enough to keep Jesus from dying for us. You see, God loves us so much that he gave us the gift of life in Jesus. 1 John 5:11-12 says that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And all we've got to do to get that life is to unwrap God's gift of life. We believe, we repent, and be baptized. Romans 6:3-4 tells us best. Don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You see, the new life that we get in Christ happens when we're baptized. It's when we're born again, when we're made a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and all we've got to do is unwrap that gift that God has given us. And in unwrapping God's gift of Jesus to us, we're told that we receive his love, his joy, his hope, his peace, and of course, his life. His life. Well, I'd like to close with another little story, and this one I'm told is true. It apparently took place several years ago, and it was about a man and this woman who were found frozen to death in their car. A blizzard, it seemed, happened in the area where they were traveling during the holidays. It dumped all kinds of snow, tons of snow, burying their vehicle. They couldn't get out. So they were stuck in their car. You know, they didn't get out. They stayed in there, you know. And before the woman died in the car, she scribbled on a piece of paper, scribbled this note, and she stuffed it in the glove compartment for someone to find. The note read, "I don't want to die this way." You know, tragically, less than 6 feet away from their icy grave was a stranded bus. And the passengers in there were warm and having a little party all throughout the night. But they just didn't know it because they didn't take the chance to step out and see what was around. So the question remains then, how far away are we from the source of life? How far away are we from Jesus this morning? Some of us are so close. But being close isn't enough. Having the gift in front of us but not opening it is not enough. 6 feet wasn't close enough for this couple, and 18 inches from our head to our heart isn't close enough either. We could be thinking about it forever, but if we don't ever do anything about it, it doesn't do us any good. God has placed the gift of His Son wide out in the open for us to unwrap and open and receive. And you're encouraged to do that today. And I realize that most of us here this morning have already done that. We've unwrapped God's gift of Jesus. And it's my prayer that we'll make use of His gift every moment of our lives and share it with others. So today, if anyone needs to come forward to open up God's gift, or maybe there's some other need that we might be able to help out with as a loving congregation, then you're encouraged to come forward now, as together we all stand and sing the song of encouragement.